You are about to participate in the most ambitious culinary experiment ever imagined.
This competition is going to test everything.
Adapt quickly to anything. I mean anything. The wildest day of your life starts right now.
All new 24 and 24 Last Chef Standing. Sunday night at 8 on Food Network. Stream on Max.
Hey guys, Maria Menounos here. Before your favorite TV after show begins, we want to let you know about my new show on SiriusXM Stars Channel 109. It's called Conversations with Maria, and it's live Monday through Friday at 10 a.m. Pacific, 1 p.m. Eastern. Go to conversationswithmaria.com for more info. Buzz you later.
You're tuning in to the online broadcast network, AfterBuzz TV. Over 20 million weekly downloads in over 150 countries, and your number one source for after show entertainment. AfterBuzz TV, the destination for TV superfans, producing aftershows for over 300 of your favorite TV shows, interviewing celebrities and showrunners, and bringing you behind-the-scenes exclusives. All thanks to E! Entertainment's Maria Menounos, producer Kevin Undergaro, and internet leader Akamai. Now, let the buzz begin!
That's my cue. Welcome to the Real Housewives of Beverly Hills After Show on AfterBuzz TV. I'm your host, Fern Ronay, taking over the host chair in my Elvis jacket because our fearless leader has a cough tonight and he's too good of a person to not want to cough in your ear all night. So yes. I'm going to take the reins and hopefully hang bear with us. Again, I'm Fern Ronay. You can find me on Twitter at Fern Ronay. And I'm joined by...
And yes, you are looking fabulous in that jacket, Fern.
Thank you.
My name is Christy Olsen and you guys can all check me out at Christy Report.
Fern's giving me like hashtag New York Fashion Week vibes.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I almost didn't recognize her in the coat.
Hey guys, it's Megan Stecker, and you could tweet me at Megan Stecker.
Hey guys, it's Grant. You guys can find me on Twitter at Grant_rants. It's been a crazy couple of days, but I'm alive to tell a tale. I went to Vegas, basically. But I've also been, like, really sick. But, yeah, I've been coming up a storm, so I didn't want to be, like, a mess, but... The rants are about to begin, so here we go.
Should we do the live read so you can get all your talking with over?
Oh, well, yeah, I'm not that bad, but, you know, I got a lot to say. But sure, let's take a look at our sponsor here at AfterBuzz TV for this episode of The Real Housewives of Beverly Hills, Blue Apron. You need to know how to cook. So not only are you going to feel like you know your way around a kitchen by participating with Blue Apron, but by cooking at home means that you are eating healthier and you are saving money instead of ordering expensive takeout again and again. So where do you start? You know, Blue Apron definitely has you covered. And for less than $10 per meal, Blue Apron delivers all the fresh ingredients you need to create a home-cooked meal. So all you have to do is follow simple step-by-step instructions, and each meal can be prepared in 40 minutes or less. There's no overwhelming trips to the grocery store, and once again, no more takeout. So no matter your dietary preferences, Blue Apron definitely has you covered to make it a breeze and to discover and to prepare your own dishes. And there's a variety, of course. We always kind of give you a little bit of something just to kind of wet the palate. So, you know, just things that you can create and cook on your own, things that sound like what you could order in a restaurant, but you have that real pride of doing it yourself. So there's a roast chicken supreme with mashed potatoes, gravy, and maple glazed carrots. Second of all, there's a miso honey roasted chicken and baby sweet potatoes with stir fried sesame bok choy and charred broccoli over creamy polenta with poached eggs.
Ooh, yes.
I'm kind of laughing because I don't even recognize my own voice. Like, does it sound weird?
It just sounds
weird.
Like,
here.
You have a great voice to begin with, but it sounds even better.
It's even raspier.
It just
like
sounds weird. Sorry. Anyway, Blue Apron, of course, like I said, has you covered, and those are some dishes that you can get. So cook with ingredients that you've never even cooked with before. You can be a little adventurous with this, like watermelon radishes, farro, purple potatoes, and recipes. They only range between 500 and 700 calories per portion. So very good, very economical, and good on the calories, delicious and good for you. So right now, you can get your first two meals for free at blueapron.com/podcast. That's blueapron.com/podcast. Blue Apron, a better way to cook.
Excellent. Thank you very much. Such a genius idea.
And now I'm starving. That last one sounded so good. I was thinking of you, the charred broccoli with polenta.
Delish. So I wonder if the food was that good at Catherine's house. So we'll talk.
Do you want to send a segue for Renee?
That was my segue. How'd you like it? The food looked good, but the conversation was even better.
Ooh.
Okay, first things first. Grant and I have to watch the show. We watch the show together because you guys watch earlier. The minute Lisa Rinna walks in the house, we were cracking up because she's like,
the reaction is
so gorgeous.
This is gorgeous. Wow. An infrared sauna, a spa, whatever it is. The hell is it? An infrared sauna. I want one. And then Eric's like, I have one.
Oh my God.
I actually got that excited about the sauna myself.
So Beverly Hills.
She did. And I'm going, what the hell is an infrared sauna? And then Rinna doesn't even know what the hell are infrared saunas for.
Right.
What
she just wants one.
Lights?
I can't take her anymore.
Well, it's just like your own individual little, like, personal sauna, and that's how it heats up, I think, or whatever. Like,
Was she like this last year?
It's just fancier than going to the gym and being naked with everyone else.
But I mean, a sauna in a home in Beverly Hills isn't necessarily unheard of, though, in my opinion.
Right, yeah.
It's like
a
steam
room.
You can get some put in. It's like a bidet. It might not be in every home, but it's like there. You know, if you really want it.
Wait, this is like Beverly. This is California.
It's so, like, hashtag rich people problems. Yeah. Like, the infrared sauna is broken.
What do I do now?
Yeah. But I gotta call her the plumber, the bidet's acting
up. Wasn't she ridiculous? She was like this last year, though, right?
Yes.
And we just didn't notice it, or we didn't care?
I don't know why she's acting like she's still trying to get a spot on the show. Like, girl, you're there. Calm down.
Yeah. Right. I used to wonder what Eileen's point was. Like, I found her to be a little boring. But now I get it, because she's, like, there to just... She's the one who wants things said, and she does serve a purpose.
Yeah.
So when she brought up at the lunch, you know, we have to figure out who's the one who told Yolanda about who was talking about her kids. I mean, I thought it was awkward, and I thought it was kind of probably planned by the producers. And I was like, let it come up naturally, but it's good that they brought it up. What did you think of Erica's reaction?
Well, you know, you're right that Eileen seemed a little forced in it, but I was glad to see Erica, like, get a little scrappy, finally. You know, last week, she kind of tried to have this hands-off approach to this whole issue, and she got into it this time, and I wanted to see what it looks like when Erica Jane gets down, and we saw that tonight.
I felt like she was so forthcoming with it that I was like, oh, like, it kind of was a little anticlimactic to me, the way that she was like,
I wrote casual, the way she just kind of threw it out there. It wasn't a huge dramatic reveal. She just kind of casually put it on the table, like, yep, we talked, it was after Kyle's party, we went to the beach, and we mentioned it. I mentioned it.
Maybe I'm watching a different show, because I was like, she was sheepish about it. She felt a little uncomfortable, and I felt she was sheepish. That's what I wrote.
I think maybe she was just downplaying it so that the other ladies would downplay it, like, you know, approaching it in the way of, oh, yeah, I did that, no big deal, and stuff. Oh, my God, yes, you guys, it was totally me, I finally admit it. You know, she was trying not to incite too much rioting.
And I want to point out, once again, there's commentary about these dramatic moments. And Lisa Vanderpump, in this instance, she called Erica a shitster. But she said in her interview, and it's like, why can't you just say it to this girl's face? Like, you know, I mean, I don't know, all these little interview bites where the real truth comes out and they show their teeth, it's cheap to me.
Yeah.
And, you know, I feel like someone like the alligator that she is, Lisa Vanderpump, can definitely say it to her face. But no, you know, these women, I want to say they're on good behavior, but, I mean, compared to other cities, they kind of are, in my opinion. But, I don't know, they're not on too good behavior at the end of the show.
Right, no. But then Lisa Rinna, then they started talking about, you know, it shifted to Lisa Rinna. She moves her food around on her plate. Maybe she's anorexic. And Eileen, once again, serving her purpose, her role in the show. Are you still getting those comments about being anorexic? So what did you think of that section of the conversation when now it was on Lisa?
Listen, that's some grade A pot story, because that makes it sound like you're like coming from a place of concern or something. Like, oh, you're not still having to deal with that, people saying that about you, are you?
Right, it's as funny. I say it on camera.
Yeah.
Right.
I thought it was the best classic. Like, let's give Rinna a real storyline. Like, that would be a real storyline,
right, yes,
rather than her inserting herself in all this Kim nonsense. I was like, I remember shouting when we were watching together. I was like, oh, we're going there. Okay. Like, the pushing the food around on the plate comment. I was like, yes. Let's go there.
I kind of forgot about those comments that Kim made about, what do you eat some bread? Right. Eat some bread. And so I was like, okay, all right. Something for Rita to do, to talk about. All right. Her eating habits. Okay, I'll take it.
Right, something.
It's, well, I mean, it's classic LA behavior. It's like these women who never eat, and then they're like, I just work out. It's like, honey, we all know you're barely pulling in 1,000 calories a day. Like, let's call it what it is.
Right. Mm-hmm. And how does she like having someone discuss her health? Like, she was like quick to kind of not talk about it. But then it got really real. Because then they were talking about who was the one who initially said it. Kim, Kyle got, understandably, in my opinion, uncomfortable because I have a brother and I don't care what he did. If someone's talking about him in front of me in a negative way, I would just not be able to take it. I would be so defensive. I don't care what he did. He's my brother. I love him. I just think that's family. I don't know. So I'm with Kyle for not wanting to hear it and being defensive. But
well, the chat roll is predicting that I'm about to bash Kyle.
Apparently, I'm pretty much watch our show.
You know what? This time I'm going to say I can't believe that she didn't bring up the text thing there at the table. I know she didn't want to get into it, but she could have like threw that off a little backhanded as she was walking away. Like, well, don't forget you threatened her or something. This was a time where Kyle actually had like a good legitimate point and something she could have used, and she chose not to do that. And I thought that was weird.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I thought she spent a long time sitting there listening to them argue over, let's not talk about Kim. Let's not use these kind of words. No, let's keep talking about it. I would have gotten up and moved away from the conversation a lot sooner.
Right, instead of eavesdropping.
Yeah, well, it was weird because I thought she took a little too long to leave the table, and then she eavesdropped on it. So it was like, oh, what's the point of walking away? I would have been like, look, all you bitches, shut your mouth about my sister right now. You can talk about it when I'm not here. No. I thought she was pretty gracious about the whole thing.
Yeah.
Two things stuck out to you. One, my favorite moment. If we were giving cheers and jeers, this would be my cheers. I like the shot that they took of uncomfortable Kyle alone in the house, adjusting herself on the couch, and they zoom out to the ladies. Like, she's like kind of like, you know, on the outside looking in, just kind of reversed in this scenario. But it's like she's like so uncomfortable looking around, and then all the ladies just keep rolling, keep talking about her, and then the wide shot. I thought it was kind of funny how they just kind of got that quick shot. And I think it was very disrespectful of Rinna to just keep going.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
She was like, she goes through the whole thing. And then she starts calling Kim all types of names like we heard before. She's a rabid dog. It was a scary moment. It was so dramatic. And it's like, all right, we get it. Like, you talked about this at the reunion. You talked about this as it happened. You've talked about this with anyone that would listen. Mm-hmm. Like, okay, like, come on, Kyle. You know, I have a little respect, at least for Kyle over Kim.
Right.
Because Kyle's physically there.
Right, exactly. She initially referred to her as that person. Lisa Rinna said that person. And at first I was like, is it Brandy? And then because I didn't remember at first. To say that person in front of Kyle, Kyle would be like, okay, I'm not. She was right to be like, I'm not listening to this.
Yeah.
And then she listened to it, which is whatever.
Just hanging on the couch, maybe.
Why is Rinna still so mad? Like, you know Kim has had her troubles. Like, all the ladies say stuff to each other and get in fights all the time. And why is she still holding on to this? Why, Grant? Why?
She wants credit for being responsible for getting the word out there about Kim. That's what it is, I think. Because she said, remember she mentioned a few episodes ago, she said, where's the payoff? Where's the, you know, I had a lot to say about that. I brought all that to light. She, for some reason, Rinna really thinks that was her doing. That she really just brought it, the truth out there. Well, we did see the limo scenario and it was outed that Kim was an alcoholic. For some reason, Rinna wants to take credit for how everything rolled out last season and then all the instances that happened afterwards with the police and the Beverly Hills Hotel. That's my perspective.
But didn't she tell Bethany, I feel it was my fault?
She said,
Something like that.
Well, last year it was a lot of like, I see weird behavior. I don't want anything bad to happen. I would feel responsible for not saying something.
Yeah, she seemed to be coming from the right place last season.
Right. Yeah. And now it's all, I'm so scared for my life. It's like, this should be coming from a place of, I've had people with addiction problems in my life that I love, and I was worried. Mm-hmm. And it's all this, I'm terrified for my life. Like, give it up.
Because if she had the sister who passed away who had addiction issues, how would she feel if someone was calling her scary, a rabid dog, a lunatic?
Right.
She's not making sense.
Right. No. Mm-hmm.
And then Catherine was making that point, and I was like, what is this reveal going to be, though? And it was pretty shocking, and I really felt genuinely horrible for her. Were you surprised? Did you know that? Is that in her bio? That we couldn't find anything. We couldn't find anything.
There was nothing
right
about her on the internet before the show.
No, so this is definitely something that we didn't know. And even when she started talking about it, I thought she was going to say that it was just an addiction issue.
Right.
When she gave the detail that her father committed suicide when she was 13, I mean, that's something that'll stun a table for sure.
Yeah.
I think by the time it got to that point, I was like, where is this all going? Because Erica had jumped down her throat like, we weren't there. We're not involved in this. You know, and I thought it was getting a little crazy. And then she just broke down crying about that. And I was like, wow. You know what? So many women in that group know people with addiction problems that they don't need to sit around and talk about Kim in such a negative way.
Exactly.
Or Rinna doesn't need to always bring up Kim in a negative way.
Yeah, there's something there. Rinna's got some chip on her shoulder about what happened and how things shook down with Kim last season. And she's just riding that out. And it's just kind of, I feel like we've said this before on the show, Rinna, you really don't have any place in Kim's life. Like, you know, last season was last season. You had your reunion. You know, I don't know what type of closure you want, but I don't think Kim owes you any type of closure. Just close the door on it yourself and move on. And then have some bread if it's if that's a problem.
I thought, God, who said it? Never mind, it went away.
What did you think of the moment? Go ahead.
I'm sorry, we did notice, Megan and I noticed while we were watching, that Rinna did not say anything about her husband. Remember, she revealed last season that Harry had been in recovery for like 20 years
hasn't
or something
for
like
however
that.
Long.
Yeah, you know, how would she feel if he relapsed and something went down? And, you know, and it was just weird that that didn't come up, that she wasn't like, I know about addiction problems.
Right.
You know?
I was surprised she didn't say that. And never mind, sorry. It keeps going away.
What about the moment between Erica and Catherine where Erica was telling her, you were just talking about it, shutting her down. I'm glad Catherine was like, it's my home. I can ask the questions I want. I thought that was legit.
They both have the same strong personality. And I think they'll probably end up talking to each other that way a lot.
Are you still flying the flag for Erica Jane high and proud? I am. I love her. I think she's great for the show, but I'm like, I lowered it a little after last week when she didn't fess up right away.
Me too. Because I thought she was that bold person to be like, I said it. Who cares? Pour me a drink, bitch.
I thought
she was that. I thought she was that wild and fun.
That was the first moment with her that it wasn't like, yes, Erica, yes.
Right,
You know, everything has been so just celebrating her. And that was the first time when everyone kind of had to take a minute and kind of look at her from a different angle. But I'm still cool with her. To me, she kind of redeemed herself how she did everything this episode. And I don't know, just mainly how she dressed and how she looked in her house, mainly.
All right, so moving on, I got to be honest. I don't care how many chapels you have in your house. I don't care how many Chanel bags you have. If my husband ever spoke to me the way Mr. Girardi spoke to her at that dinner, I would rather live. I don't know. I'd rather just get my own job and live my own life. I don't need that. Because that was uncomfortable. I found it extremely, extremely uncomfortable, specifically when he said, I'm talking. Like, I'm talking. He stopped her. Wow. And the go to your room might have been a joke. Maybe that's the first thing he said. But then when he said, I'm talking, and cut her off, cringing. How did you guys feel?
I thought the exact same thing. And it was so kind of off from the other exchanges that we've seen between them. I thought that they've been very sweet and that he's been very respectful with her. So it sort of seemed to come out of nowhere, and it just made me really want just more from them. I'm really wondering now, what are they trying to give us about Erica and Tom's relationship? And let's not kind of forget that now, you know, we're seeing all these horrible behaviors from Lisa Rinna. Last season, we loved her. They gave us a Lisa Rinna to love last season. You know, I'm thinking they gave us an Erica Girardi to love those first few episodes, and now I'm really wondering what's going to be revealed as we go on, because I'm still loving her.
Right, exactly.
But that, I mean, almost a lack of respect for her that she would allow that, right?
Exactly, yes. It made me question both of them and their relationship, and I was just, oh my God.
It was definitely a clutch my pearls moment. I think that, though, okay, this is LA, this is Beverly Hills. They have a relationship where she's filling a certain role and he's filling a certain role. She's probably made concessions to get what she wants. Look, she gets to go out and have this crazy pop star career, but she probably does get talked to a certain way by him that maybe she doesn't appreciate, but she's like, you know what? He's the boss in a lot of ways. And you know what? So that's our relationship. That's our marriage. I'll put up with it. That, you know, I've given up this to have this. And I'm sure maybe he feels the same way about her about some things. Maybe. Yeah. Maybe he's like, mm-hmm. you know what? I've got this hot young wife, but, you know, I get to have, like, you know, the trophy wife on my arm. But, you know, maybe he's mm-hmm. not.
But she
know.
Talks a little too much or whatever.
Right, exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
You know. Hmm. I mean, I was just surprised because that dynamic, you usually have to have, like, one that's a little bit more dominant, one that's a little more submissive, and I don't view Erica as someone that's submissive.
Right.
So I was like, I wonder what it's really like. So it made, while it made their relationship more real, and it made it more true to really what a marriage is, I think. Like, there's always, not everything is as it seems, not everything is perfect, and, you know, there's definitely something going on there. But it also kind of was, like, a little, like, if you were to think of, like wrapping a gift, and there's, like a ribbon, and then the ribbon starts to kind of peel away a little bit. It's like, be careful, like, that could be the beginning of the end for them, because not for the end as a marriage, but because a producer is going to latch onto that, and they're going to continue to peel away, and, you know, next season it might not be, you know, might not be as beautiful as it looks.
Seriously.
You know?
Yes, well, they do still seem very conscious of the cameras. Mm-hmm. Like, you can almost see Tom even looking out of the corner of his eye at the camera. And I'm wondering if that had happened in their living room when it was just the two of them, if he had been like, Erica, I'm talking. Maybe she would have given it back to him, but she didn't want anyone to pick up on it, or she didn't want to make a big deal out of it.
Mm-hmm. That's true. They both seem very smart.
I don't agree with talking to people like that. That, to me, is like a put down and a shut down. Mm-hmm. And it's a very, like, parent-child thing.
Yes.
I had a family member in my family who would speak sometimes to me, and this is not my mother or father, and they would speak to, like, their own children that way, and it was just a terrible parenting skill. I remember, you know, we've all been on the receiving end of being shut down by someone, and it's just a terrible thing to do, and I couldn't be in a relationship. I'm with you for it. I couldn't do that for a minute.
Mm-hmm. No way. Nope. Maybe she's thinking he's going to die soon.
I could keep a load of myself.
I don't know.
It's exactly. Like, I can keep my mouth shut for another couple years.
Right.
More of that give and take.
Fern, you can't be the first person to think that way.
Oh, man.
You know, I mean, everyone, look, I mean, a lot of marriages are business transactions. And
exactly.
A lot of people, they wait it out.
Yeah.
You know? Mm-hmm.
So sad, though. Like, your day-to-day life should be... Mm-hmm. You should be fulfilled and happy with your loved one.
But we have seen him be very supportive of her also and seen a loving relationship between the two of them.
Yeah.
I just...
So we got them on a boat.
I just want to see more.
Yeah. I got to analyze this one fully.
Now that we've really gotten to know Erica and we've seen the marriage, I think we need to have her in and we need to talk to her about it and see what she says, how she felt about
this
situation.
Do it.
Yes, because thinking of just of Megan and Jim from Real Housewives of Orange County, their relationship was set up in sort of a similar way to the viewers. And when they came in, we had a completely different experience watching the two of them interact with each other.
That is so true. I'll never forget watching Orange County and being like, he hates her. And then you guys met them and you're like, they're actually have a great dynamic. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
So you never, right. We're just getting snippets. It's true. So moving on to other things that Erica Girardi owns, the Signs of Chaplin. She has a beautiful pool, set up a carnival. All these cuties were in the pool. And she has everyone over. And of course, the conversation happens. And long story short, Lisa Rinna will not reveal her source. But Yolanda got pissed.
Yeah.
First things first, Yolanda. I know that English isn't your first language. I can't speak a word in your language. I'm not judging you. But it's get the word right. She keeps saying it wrong to be cute, to be funny, to be... Just get it right because it's annoying. That's A. B. Right to be pissed that, you know, Lisa apologized to you and you accepted the apology, but you didn't know what you were accepting.
Yeah.
You didn't know.
Yeah.
And now you found out and you're pissed. And when Lisa said, you should have called me then, because she didn't know that she didn't understand, she was like, why should I call you? She got really angry. Well, you should have called her because, you know, it was a completely different conversation after you learned what it meant. So what did you think of Yolanda's anger? Have we ever seen her that angry?
That's what I was thinking, that this was the angriest we've ever seen her. We've never seen this side. I think
she's going
to
flip a table.
See, to me, I didn't think Yolanda went into this listening to anything Rinna had to say.
Correct.
I think she had a preset points, bullet points. She had kind of some anger built up. And it's like, you know, I think I've had that where I'm about to confront someone. And then it's like, you know, they're coming at me from a different angle, but I'm still pretty fired up. So that's how I kind of got this with Yolanda. She wasn't really listening. And it ended up kind of getting... ugly and accusatory, but, you know, Lisa Rinna did read the definition, but she keeps saying, but I don't think you have it.
Right.
But who knows?
I'm with you, Fern. I was so irritated that she did not call it the right thing one time.
Yes.
Like, stop saying... I literally wrote down, never got the name right once. Like, she kept calling him Mouse and House.
Oh, my God.
I
know.
But I just, like, seeing Yolanda that mad, I was like, whoa. It was almost, like, too real.
Yeah.
I was like, this is, like, pulling back the curtain.
Uh-huh.
I think her intention by mispronouncing it all the time was, like, to kind of undermine it. Like, I don't even care what the word is because it doesn't even matter. Like, I'm not that. It's a silly word, and it's a silly thing to accuse me of. And
yeah, yeah.
Now, was it the same thing when she was reading her definition of when you're making your child sick for attention? Is that also part
of... That's Munchausen by proxy.
Okay,
I'm trying
to
say, like, that's not the same thing, but...
Okay, so maybe she, this whole time, also... has it wrong. She thought that they were accusing her of Munchausen by proxy and on purpose making Bella and Anwar sick. Maybe that's what she thought, and that's why she was so fired up.
Right, that would make more sense.
I follow that, yeah.
Yeah, because we haven't seen her get this fired up over anything that was just about her.
Mm-hmm.
And
right.
When you bring the kids into the equation, our chat role is saying, too, when you mess with her kids, look out.
Yeah, that makes sense. And then Lisa Vanderpump opens her mouth, and I was like, don't go there.
Yeah.
Trying to say, like, sometimes you're, you know, whatever, in a nutshell, six healthy, healthy self. I was like, just shut up. It didn't go much further, though.
I was glad somebody finally brought that up.
Because
that's all they're arguing about behind her back. Like, at least tell her, well, that's why all these people are telling or are talking about you behind your back.
Right.
Whether it's us or someone else who Rinna is accusing.
Right.
You know, you need to realize the image you're putting out there is why everyone's talking about you.
Right.
Mm-hmm. I was glad she said it.
And it's Lisa Rinna's hairdresser, right? Isn't that what she revealed on Watch What Happens Live?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I'm not a big fan that she didn't reveal who it is. And I know she didn't watch because the person wasn't there, but I mean, now it's like, to me now, it's the hairdresser on staff who is in production.
Mm-hmm.
And so they're not going to reference someone in production on the show, so they're just never going to reference it. But if this is a reality show, you don't have to say that they're the hairdresser hired by Bravo and Evolution to blow dry Lisa Rinna's hair before she goes to a dinner. I mean, just say my hairdresser or a person who's doing my hair told me, like, you know, we don't need to cart the woman out in the reunion, but just at least it's supposed to be real.
Right.
You know, let's acknowledge it for what it is. And it's cheap to reveal it on Watch What Happens Live, like, 6 months after you taped it.
That's true.
Mm-hmm. Just saying.
Yeah.
That is true.
Yeah. Yeah, that sucks that she saved it till that. Because if you were going to reveal it, why not just say it on the show? Like, we can all Google who we think it is the next, you know, as soon as the show's over. So if you were going to say it afterward, should have said it then.
Yeah, it's too contrived for me.
You know,
it was supposed to be really telling the story and the relationships of these women. So if that's what happened, that's what happened.
Yeah.
I enjoyed Yolanda tonight accusing, she told Eileen, I could say that Rinna was bipolar or unbalanced. I was like, oh, Yolanda has crossed to the other side. Welcome.
And I loved how Lisa Rinna was like, you're not putting it out there. You just did.
Let's not
forget there are cameras.
This was a really good fight, I have to say.
Yeah, that was a good point.
Yeah.
Well, it's about time Yolanda gets a little fired up.
Like, yeah.
She's, a lot of people have it talking, and I'm glad that she's there to defend herself. And I like the dynamic with her and Erica.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Erica got really pissed at Lisa Rinna. Like, say who it is.
Yeah.
That was nuts.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, I just was wondering if you guys caught the point where, now, Yolanda has said before that she's dealt with her own family even not believing her.
Mm-hmm.
And she said tonight, we always watch with a caption on, it looked like she said, this is what I dealt with Granny for the last year.
She said, like, Brandy.
Brandy. Okay,
yeah.
And I just captioned it as Granny. I was like, was it her grandma who was the one in her family who didn't believe she was sick? Okay, never mind. Just bad closed caption, y'all. Yeah.
June from Rhode Island, you believe it.
Yeah, I'm trying to figure things out.
What was she talking about with Brandy? Because that was another interesting point. She was like, she said, don't do something and then say I'm sorry, which is a good thing.
Right.
Like, don't do it in the first place. But in Lisa Rinna's position, she's like, I already said it. If sorry is not good enough, like, now what am I supposed to do?
Right.
Cartwheels?
Yeah.
Or, like, what is she supposed to do?
I mean, it's one of those things where the person who's mad won't accept your apology until they're not mad. And she just needs time.
Exactly.
So, Yolanda was just... I've never seen her this upset. So it was just not listening and constant yelling.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And So she was never going to accept an apology at that moment.
One point that Yolanda did mention, which I thought was interesting, she said that Lisa Rinna, last season, she labeled Brandy and she labeled Kim, and now she's labeling Yolanda. So I was like, it's kind of true.
I'm sure
sure if we called up Brandy Glanville right now, Brandy would be glad to agree that Lisa Rinna is out there labeling people.
Yeah, that's another good point. What did I miss? Anything? Any other?
Well, how about Tom flirting hardcore with LVP?
That was so weird. That whole
I feel like I was like at that point I was like they're so secure, like it's fine, it's just conversation, cute banter. She's not really worried. But then when it got nasty, I was like, no, I don't know about this relationship. But you thought, what were they saying exactly? Maybe I missed it.
Well, it sort of seemed like he was like, he's a smart guy, and he had to have an intention with this, with giving Lisa the compliments and telling her, oh, you know, you're the alligator and you're so this way. I was like, is he trying to make LVP an ally for Erica because he thinks that Erica needs that, or there's something that just left me going, what are his motives in this? He's not just trying to like flirt with his wife's new friend on TV.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
Well, something about being a worthy opponent. You know, he spots her for being the alligator, I guess, that she is. You know, he's I guess it's kind of saying like I got your number, kind of like, you know, like, we kind of, we're on the same page. Like, I got you. You know, I mean, I know what you're up to. Like, I see you. You know, maybe.
But
I don't know what skin he has in the game, though. Why does he care if he's got Lisa Vanderpump's number? He's not even on the show, really.
Right. But maybe it was for his wife. Maybe he's, maybe he thinks she can't, she needs an ally, a strong ally.
Yeah.
I don't know. But when he did the imitation of the alligator, he looked so old in that split second. I was like, oh, I was a little embarrassed for him.
You're like, he'll learn what faces not to make on camera when he watches it back.
Someone sent me a screen cap. I'm curious.
Oh.
Yes, yes.
Well, you know what I was thinking? That whole thing, his whole little like monologue he was doing, it's kind of like how he performs in the courtroom.
Yeah.
Maybe that's why he got so pissed that Erica tried to just chime in and be like, yeah, honey, you're right. And he's like, I'm talking. You know, he's not used to being interrupted in the courtroom.
Right. Yeah. He's this like self-important, successful lawyer who's like takes his time making his point. When you're at dinner, shut the hell up. Get to the point.
Right.
And like make it funny and interesting.
I'm just trying to get my filet over here.
Right.
Well, our chat roll wants to weigh in a little bit.
Yes.
And Bryce Lee Wynn said he didn't think that LVP and Tom were flirting. He thought it was two alphas squaring off.
Oh, that's
agree.
Wonderful observation.
Yes.
Yeah,
and my mad. Cute. Said, mentioned that Brandy called Yolanda's daughter an alcoholic last season,
and
she didn't get this mad. That's
she
a
didn't.
Great point.
That is a good point.
I forgot.
Yeah, I forgot that.
Mm-hmm.
I forgot the whole DUI
Oh, and they also don't want
us
to skip the dinner with Adrian and Kyle, who I have to say, Adrian's face looks different every single time. She always looks fabulous, but she always looks like a different fabulous person.
But it's never the same.
Never the same face.
Aging in reverse. Get it, Adrian. I am not mad at you.
So what did they talk about? I think I was still reeling from
this
one.
It was mostly
about Kim.
And
it was
like, Adrian has kind of repaired her relationship with Paul. They're going into business together. Oh, not about it, huh?
No, is she full? Like, they hate each other. They hated each other. It must be her only option. This must be the business they started when they were still on the show and they were still together.
Oh, yeah.
And it's like they found no way to get out of it without losing money, and they're like, let's give it another go.
It must be about money.
Yes, I think they see the Dubrows raking it in on Evine and everything else, and they want a little piece of that pie, too.
Exactly.
They're like, we can make this work. How weird is it to hear that somebody else saw your... Like, Kyle said to Adrian, have you seen her? Like, how weird that somebody else saw your sibling. Like, have you seen her? How does she look? Like, I felt so bad for Kyle in that moment. Like, this...
That's a weird question.
Friend of, like, this friend saw your sister and you haven't. How does she look? Like, it was a little sad. But, I mean, they just discussed that she knows she has a problem. She knows she has to get better. Everything we've been discussing.
Well, Christy and I had a moment where Kyle started crying so hard in the interview and said, I can't do this. And I said, you know what? This isn't about not seeing Kim. This is about she's been on the outs of the family for a while now. The tabloids have been talking about it. We're discussing why wasn't she invited to Nikki's, you know, why was she disinvited from Nikki's wedding? Mauricio's not invited to anything. Like, she is having family problems on top of family problems. Mm-hmm. It's not just her and Kim. She's the black sheep right now. And her whole family with Mauricio is the black sheep right now. And I think she's just torn apart inside.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a good point. It's sad.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. What did anything else happen with Adrian?
No.
I don't remember.
No,
yeah,
it was just, quick.
She's like,
and Lisa Rinna reading Laureen's poems.
Oh, yeah.
That was really weird.
But I'm glad she said there's addiction on both sides and she wants to be a responsible parent. But the poem, yes, the poems.
Yeah, I mean, then they try to, like, you know, put it up against the other storyline, you know, with the lunch. And I get it.
Whenever someone reads poetry, I cringe. I don't care how good it is or bad. Right. I just think poetry's awkward.
I just thought when she was, like, really moved by the one verse about if they need help, they'll ask for it. I would have assumed that would have been a moment that she would have cried or, you know, the reaction that she had was a little off to me. And I was like, wow, this would have been the perfect moment for you to cry and we would have a little sympathy for you. But I don't know.
Yes. No, exactly. Yeah.
She did reflect on it a little, right? Like, she did reflect on it, kind of what it meant to her. But,
Yeah,
I hear you.
It just seemed, and I mean, I know this is a woman's writing and all this, but the way it was put in and the way it was chopped in there, it just kind of seemed like shoveled in stuff.
Right. It was it was an afterthought.
Yeah.
And they were trying to shove it in there like she was reflecting after all their arguments after that lunch in San Diego.
Right.
And it was awkward.
Right. Not believable.
Does anyone think Lisa Rinna's daughters can't stand her? To me, the two daughters, they barely can be bothered.
I mean, you really can't stand your mom when you're that old.
They're
really
very LA.
And she's super obnoxious as a mom, I feel like.
You can tell. She was like, Mom, we're going to do Housewives. You need to sit here. Like, it's going to be like, you know, like a 20-minute shoot. Like, just do it. Like, and you know that they're like, you know, well.
Anwar might see it.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
They're like, Mom, my friend's in the driveway. God, I told you.
I gotta go work at the deli.
I don't buy that for 1 minute that she's still running the damn deli.
Oh, Lord.
So I guess we should move on to news and gossip. Do we have any?
Yeah. I got a couple things for you all. You might be interested to know that Yolanda is in New York City this week for New York Fashion Week. She yesterday was able to watch Gigi walk in the Tommy Hilfiger show.
Nice.
This is only the second time, and Gigi does a lot of catwalks, that she has seen Gigi walk in person. She did say she still only has 3 good hours a day, but while she was in New York, she was doing things like cleaning the daughter's bedrooms. And she's like, oh, I'm organizing Bella's closet. So it sounds like they're having great fun. She also added during an interview there that she's documented this 4-year journey with Lyme disease and that she hopes to write a book. She said 106 doctors, 11 countries. I'm going to be writing a book.
Oh, I'm sure.
Yeah. That could genuinely help someone.
Yeah.
For sure. And it would just be a little insight for all of us. Kyle appeared on Heather Dubrow's podcast and dropped a couple bombs. The most interesting thing I thought was that she said that when Faye and Lisa Vanderpump had it out a couple seasons ago, that Faye was actually a paid cast member during that time. So I know that is when we saw a lot of Faye, but I never knew that she was actually a paid cast member at any point in time. Mm-hmm. But Kyle says she was. And
well, they say the friends of the house webs do get a rate.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, I don't know, I think they're on like a contract, but yeah, they do get a rate.
Right. And Kyle also revealed that production dictates where everyone sits at a dinner table. They're just talking about the place, the name places and all that.
Yeah.
And so breaking that fourth wall a little bit. This next story had me a little bit hot under the collar. Of course, it's about Brandi Glanville. She gave an interview and she said, you know, Kim is sober, but I don't know if she'll stay sober with all this Monty stuff. And oh, by the way, I still drink around her. I was totally drinking at Monty's wake. And if she does fall off the wagon, well, you know what? I'll just be there for her. So, Brandi, who claims she's Kim's best friend, has this very laissez-faire attitude where it almost sounds like she's like, sure, yeah, go ahead and relapse. It'll be fun. I'll be there for you. It's cool. We'll have drinks.
Seriously.
Yeah. Drinks at the wake.
Yeah.
Well, she's got a line of wine to push right now. Of course she's saying terrible things
True.
Yeah.
That's true.
And
didn't
she make a t-shirt line out of saying it's not fun to be sober to go along with the wine?
Yeah, and she wore it in front of Kim. And we're going to see it in the coming episodes.
Yeah, I just don't think that's very supportive, friendly behavior.
No.
Just saying. And on a sad note, Eileen's 69-year-old brother passed away this week.
Oh,
he was a Vietnam vet, and we now know she's lost her sister, her niece, and her father-in-law, and now the brother this year.
Oh, that is really
so. They're dealing with a lot of bad news, but some good news for Eileen and her husband Vince. They're going to co-star in a movie together. It's called Spycosis, and it must be a big film because Jamie Lee Curtis is co-starring. Eileen will actually be playing the President of the United States.
Yes, girl.
He plays the secretary, so that should be a whole lot of fun.
Yeah,
Madam,
I like that.
President, I love it.
And just kind of a fun little blurb, Real Housewives of Orange County's Heather Dubrow says that Catherine's ex-husband, Marcus Allen, hit on her, too.
Oh,
it was like
Heather,
a ton of years ago. She was with Terry, and she said Terry actually had to tell him, Marcus, stop hitting on my wife. So that is hilarious. And this one really hurts. This is my last little report for you. Lisa Rinna tweeted this week about Twitter. She said, this Twitter takes a lot of energy to do this stupid Twitter stuff. Yolanda must be exhausted, poor thing.
They were in a they were in a little war after last week's episode, and then she said that. I was like, well, they still haven't squashed a thing.
Well,
it's gonna be a good reunion.
There's
one very
simple thing you can do in that case, and get off Twitter. That's all you can do. You know, it's like, it's very well known in the House of Community that Rinna is always worried about her image, and she's on there. She's on the blogs, Googling. I don't think she's listening to us. She should be. She should be in here, but we know that. But
she thinks she's too good for us.
Yeah.
But she's so thirsty. But she's also so thirsty.
I know.
Yeah, I'm just going to sip my tea.
Me too.
Don't spill any of that tea, Megan.
Yeah,
do you think she'll be thirsty next week? How's that a segue to previews? Predictions?
TV predictions.
Well,
thirsty.
The bipolar gate storyline is really going to be an upcoming thing. Mm-hmm. And I really hope that's not going to take us to the end of the season. Like, let's just have a chat, you know, and then let's move on. But what is coming back is Eileen and versus LVP again.
Right.
So that looks like it could be a good scene. I like when the fingers get in.
Yes. She had that finger point.
I am dying to know what they're fighting over for LVP to be all fired up, because she usually keeps it so cool.
Yeah.
And like with the darting eyes is usually how she lets you know she's pissed. For her to be all in the face. I'm excited. What else?
I still want to know what the main storyline of this season is going to be besides Yolanda. You know, last season it was a slow burn up until Kim's crash and burn, pretty much. Mm-hmm. But I mean, what's the story going to be this season? I guess we're going to go back to the Eileen LVP thing. You know, Lisa Rinna versus Yolanda. I guess that's it. My prediction is that things need to turn around, and that, you know, someone needs to get in trouble for something besides Munchausen.
Jessica G in the chat pointed out Lisa tweeted a picture of her horses and said that they were playing in the disco, which was that reference made last week. So I think LVP is on a tear, and I think the only thing that would make her react that way is someone really backing her into a corner. Like, for once, I think she finally did something wrong and can't talk her way out of it, and that's that.
Yes. Mm. Excellent predictions. I have none. I don't know. The previews
are it's time to wrap anyway.
Thank you so much for joining us, and please continue to comment and reach out to us on social media, because we love hearing from you. And where can they find you on social media?
Yes. All right. So you guys can find me over on Twitter at Grants_Rants. You can also check me out on my podcast, Grants Rants Hollywood Talk, with this one.
Yay.
We recently did a Valentine's Day episode.
And Grant's celebrating 10,000 downloads.
Yes. Oh. Thank you. Yes.
Yay.
So
amazing.
If you haven't already, please check it out. It's on iTunes. Thank you. It's on iTunes, Stitcher. You can just Google Grant's Rants Hollywood Talk and you will find it. And check out Megan on my show. We talk about a lot of good stuff, including the Housewives. All right.
Yes, and the O.J. Simpson story. What is it? Yeah. People versus O.J., which I need to rush home and watch.
Yes.
Also, Beyonce. And you guys can find out all my feelings about that on Twitter, Instagram, and Snapchat. I'll let Megan Stecker.
Well, I ran into CeeLo Green, Redfoo, Maya, the cast of Love and Hip Hop Hollywood, all kinds of folks during Grammys weekend. And you guys can check out all my exclusive interviews on ChristyReports.com. And please, please subscribe to my YouTube channel at ChristyReports. I really appreciate it.
That's great.
Fern Ronay here. You can find me on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at Fern Ronay. Sex in the City meets Ghost. That's how I describe my first novel, which will be released in a few short months. So please follow me for release information. Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at Fern Ronay. Thank you so much for joining us, and we will see you next week.
Adios.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network. To watch or listen to other After shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the host only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.